Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined from a safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And on the bullpen phone, Chris Zook.
Why not chipper there, Brian? It's a long weekend coming up.
Yeah.
Cold long weekend.
It's cold. In Winnipeg. Yeah, it's real cold. I'll tell you later, Zook.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll say this is this is winter. This is Winnipeg, as people call it. So if you're not in Winnipeg in the polar vortex, count yourself lucky.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, my son and I went for a walk this evening just to get a little bit of fresh air, and my eyelids, my eyelashes were like frozen.
Yeah, I lost an eyelash earlier in the week because
what?
Yeah, I work outside. So I had my face covered and my toque pulled down.
You got to change that. That's not a good.
My eyelash froze to my toque. And then when I tried to blink, it ripped one of my eyelashes. Like not the whole eyelash, but like one single eyelash frozenly ripped out of my face before I wanted to.
We need to get you some ski goggles or something.
Well, I probably should.
Something like that. If you're gonna have
that sounds that actually sounds painful, Brian.
It was painful, Zook. It was painful.
I don't know. I'm just wondering. I've never had that experience. Thing. I don't want to actually.
It wasn't great. Plus, I've tested. Got this.
Well, Mike,
got this beard, and it froze a bunch of times too. And your eyebrows freeze. It's not.
Well, the beard. Great. No, but the beard is actually preventative a bit. It's you're actually being proactive a bit having a beard. The eyelash thing, that's quite extreme. It is extreme weather right now, so that makes some sense. But my condolences to your eyelash.
Thank you, Zook. I appreciate it. I think that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me, so I'll take it.
That's all you're gonna get this year.
There you go. In February. That was his New Year's resolution, and he's chalked that up. There you go.
Check it off now. I'm good to go.
So
Sure. I just wanted to say this because I remember this was top of mind. So we had Arash Madani on last week and he was fantastic. I don't want to pump his tires too much, but we always love when he's around. But he did text me right after and just stated that Brian had said second best in the AL. And he was quite still enamored by Brian, you know, tooting the bandwagon there. So
enamored, or is he making fun of me? Because he seemed to be doing a lot of that during the show too.
It was a little bit of both, right? I think you know what? It was very spirited. I actually just I as I said last week, and I'll say it again, that it was actually just nice for a change that I didn't get all the barbs thrown my way. So
listed as the second best team on Fangraphs projections. So.
I'll get a rash back, and he can talk to you about that.
Yeah.
And those projections are usually pretty good. They are listed as the second best team in the AL as of right now on three separate projections: the Fangraphs, the Zip, and the Steamer projections. And those projections are usually pretty good. And now, again, I'm not saying that if projected as the second best team in the AL, I'm not going to go ahead and say that they're a contender because I don't know and I don't think so, but that does mean that I'm pretty sure they're going to make the playoffs. And so well, I'll take it.
Number two, but number one on the Svengraphs charts.
Well, I mean, because the number one team in the AL, according to them, is the Yankees, and FTY, till I die, baby.
Yeah.
I will say this. I think this happened after our show. Am I correct about the Bauer signing? Or is that?
Yes.
Or is that?
We obviously.
We didn't get a chance to talk about it because we talked all about the Blue Jays.
Yes,
we
were. Exactly.
But the Bauer signing did happen after our episode.
The Bauer signing and then the Arenado trade and a few other things we do want to talk about. Okay, so let's start with Bauer, I guess.
Sure. I mean, I'll say this. It would have been nice if the Blue Jays would have got him, but that was an insane contract. Am I right about that? That's just good for him. But wow, I was one, but the number, and two, where the destination was, the Dodgers.
I'm glad that the Blue Jays didn't get him because he's just a horrible human being.
Oh, he put a mea culpa out there this week. He said he's going to try and do better on social media. So
I don't
we'll see.
Really that. Know that I can trust a dude that touts Barstool as like a super good thing and harasses women on the internet.
But let's be honest here. You know, we just saw Antonio Brown win a Super Bowl. So really, for teams that care about
yeah, they don't care. They want to win because winning is important. But exactly. As a fan, I care because I don't want to cheer for that guy.
And that's fine. And guess what? You don't have to cheer because he won't be wearing the Blue Jays colors this year.
Well, he'll be wearing the colors, but not the logo.
Well,
Dodger Blue's a little bit different, but not like a lot.
Well, people would say that's sacrilegious to compare the Dodgers colors to the Blue Jays. But I digress here. What did you guys think about that? I was surprised about the number and the destination.
Well, the destination, no, I wasn't surprised. I mean, I really thought.
Really?
Because he's a Southern California kid.
Yeah, neither of those. Neither of those numbers surprised me at all.
Really? No. 40, 45?
Well, I guess the only thing that really...
I had thought the Mets were still a strong contender because Steve Cohen appears to like want to, you know,
well, they
the
were
bank
because
in terms
of
these things.
The fluke that happened, right? The mix-up. I don't know if you guys heard about that, but the reason why... So Bob Nightingale said that he was going to the Mets. What had happened was that he wanted to announce on his website as it happened. So he had his web development team set up pages for four different teams with an announcement, right? Of like with him photoshopped in the uniform with a statement talking about how happy he was to go to whatever team it was. And it was four different teams, right? It was the Mets, the Dodgers, and we don't know about the other two. But somebody got a hold of the link for the one for the Mets and sent it to a couple of newsbreakers. So he still was interested in going to the Mets. It came down basically to the wire. Like he didn't finish making his decision until whatever later. Right. So,
I would be curious about the other two teams. I'm sure someone will sleuth that out down the road there.
I'd be willing to bet one of the other ones is the Angels.
Okay.
And I'm not sure about the final one, but the only number that really surprised me, was how many years, because he had said he's been saying for years and years and years that he's only ever going to take 1 year deals. And he's got a bet with one of his friends that if he ever took anything more than a 1 year deal, the guy could shoot him point blank in a very sensitive area with a paintball gun.
So I guess that's going to happen.
He is going to honor that.
Yeah, so that was the only number that surprised me was the number of years.
Let me tell you, 40, 45 million was sued to whatever, you know, welt you're going to have on your body.
Yeah, well, $1.3 million per start.
I will say this. It's not like the Dodgers aren't loaded again to try and defend this title this year.
Playoffs are, as we've learned from Billy Beane, playoffs are just a bunch of luck and nonsense. But, you know.
Said from someone who doesn't win.
The Dodgers only won once in the last 20 so years, despite having probably the best team during most of those years.
I
said the same thing about the Lightning, right? Of which who I am a fan of. You know, you got to give talent enough kicks at the can, but sometimes talent doesn't win out.
Oh yeah, you know, no, there's a whole bunch of factors about that, but I mean, again, on paper, the Dodgers are looking pretty formidable again.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. No doubt.
Well, yeah. Like I mean, that core of their offense is there, and then adding Cy Young winner, who like isn't even necessarily their ace, right? Like
no, he could be their third.
Well, I don't know about that.
I would say second. I would say he slots in at two.
Second. Yeah, well, right?
You're Walker, ahead of Kershaw? Walker,
yes, at this point in time. I think he's a better pitcher than Kershaw. Was last year, Zook.
Well, sure. I mean, every year is different. I'm just saying is if I want one pitcher on the mound there.
Bueller, it's not Kershaw. It's not. Well, come on. Bueller. Come on.
Kershaw?
After what he's had one, he's rectified his playoff stuff.
Yeah, he had a good year.
But,
yeah,
like,
a good year. Bauer might not have a great year this year. There's no, you know, he's been, yeah, obviously. Had a
Kershaw's side. Also
people
on
have
the,
had Cy Young years.
The and wrong I, side
oh,
of 30.
I know he's on the, sure, of course. But Kershaw still, I'll have Kershaw there any day on the mound there. That guy's a bulldog there, right? So he's going to fight for, you know, he did very well in the postseason that he doesn't have his ace stuff like he did in the prime of his career. But, you know, anyway, hey, it's great to have that, right? You have a top three like that. That's
well, I mean, they have an insane,
you know, any team would
insane
like that.
Insane pitching staff now too, like, right?
Sure. Yeah, their bullpen and right. I mean, you're top three there, but then you just go down the list of what they had, and we saw that in the World Series. And you know, I mean, this is what happens is that
Bueller,
you know,
Bauer, Kershaw, in whatever order you want to put them in, and then they've still got David Price and Dustin May and Julio Urias and Tony Gonsolin. Like that is insane, Gonsolin, and they've still got a nutty bullpen: Kenley Jansen, Blake Treinen, Brewster Graterol. Joe Kelly, that's crazy. They got Tommy Canley too. Corey Knebel. Oh my God. Oh no. What a bullpen. That's filthy.
And an embarrassment of riches. I mean, this is what you get when you move the like Tampa Bay front office of like Quants to a place that has a huge bankroll is you get.
That is filthy.
Like the best of both, right?
That team is just steamy. Oh, That division's going to be fun this year, with the exception of the Rockies, who are actively trying not to win.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that in a second. But before we do, I will say, I just pulled up details about that the Mets kerfuffle and the accidental leak. To his credit, so I guess a bunch of fans who like signed up for a chance to win Bauer Mets merch as a result of this like wrong link getting published, he's announced that fans who entered it will still be entered to win a raffle for tickets to a future Dodgers-Mets game, and he's donating $10,000 each to several New York nonprofits as an apology for the mix-up. So that you know, as much
that's
as
kind of cool,
his yeah, past I mean, past behavior on Twitter is not necessarily something to champion. I will give him a hat tip for the way he's handled this.
Yeah. Yeah, I will again, too. I mean, you got to give credit where credit's due sometimes.
Sure. Again, it doesn't hurt when you have $40 or $45 million sitting around there. So you sure. know, a couple of ducats there. You know, yeah. Hey, good PR move. That's
well.
Good.
I mean, he doesn't even pay for those tickets.
Sure, sure. But I'm just saying, it's a good PR move, right? It's just,
yeah,
just
of course.
You know, nice about that, right?
Yeah. So 3 years, $102 million, making him the highest paid player in the majors each of the next two seasons. It's
well, I mean, you know the. The hot stove is, you know, cooking up here a bit now, right?
Yeah. And so obviously you mentioned that the Rockies actively trying to lose. The key
they
maneuver in that attempt is, of course, getting rid of good players. And
I don't know if you guys heard me. I was actually on Tipping Pitches this past week to talk about it. They have an open line, and I talked about how upset I was at the baseball at baseball media.
I haven't listened to this latest Tipping Pitches. I'm behind.
Yeah. They have an open line thing or whatever where you can call in and complain about ownership or whatever's getting you mad about baseball. And I mean, obviously, I can talk for days and days and days about how teams not actively trying makes me mad. It's the exact same thing that you've heard me say a million times before, but. The thing that surprised me this time.
Can I just cut together like a super clip of you on this show and send it to them?
Absolutely. Be my guest. But because it's the same argument. just with, you know, different
teams, different players, but
yeah, different nouns. But the thing that is upsetting me the most is how much baseball media is covering for the Rockies in this. They sent the best third baseman in baseball along with $50 million and got back a poo-poo platter of garbage level prospects because they just don't want to spend money. And baseball media is like, oh, well, they just had to. The Nolan Arenado left them no choice. They just had to.
It's disgusting. Especially on this case, it's so disingenuous because here's the deal. Arenado just signed a massive contract.
Last year!
Right?
We talked about it on this show!
Right, and so the deal he bought into, if you're going to improve the team, I'm in. I have signaled that by signing this multi-year, multi-dollar contract. And then they reneged, and then they basically just, you know, they want to do the Miami Marlins, and just go and go right to the bottom here. And so, sure, I mean, you know, what is he supposed to do? He wants to just languish there and not have a chance to win a championship for the next 5 to 7 years of his prime?
It's MLB owners operating in bad faith, which is something that they always do. Nobody should be surprised.
No, but again, it's because, but the thing is, I think where it gets a bit much is that, yes, that they, everyone rallies the troops around and says, oh, you know, they did the best they could. They have no option, da, da, da. But there's always an option, because tell you this, if you're a Colorado Rockies fan that, you know, 2-3 years ago, they actually were, you know, in for a wild card, right? They were a contending team.
They were a good team.
They're not only garbage, like when opening day comes around, it'll be, will they lose 100 or 110 games this year? Because there's no chance that team that they just, and on top of that's the whole point is, if it's one thing you're going to, okay, is you can't keep.
They are ranked 30th in three separate positions in baseball right now.
But you're not even getting the top prospects back. At least if you're going to do that. That's the even bigger thing. They don't even want to swing a little bit and just say, okay, at least let's go and try and find someone who maybe will replace him in 3 to 5 years.
They traded
it's a salary dump.
They traded the best. Yeah, exactly. They traded the best third baseman in baseball along with extra money.
Yeah, that's
and did not get back good prospects. That is insane.
I will say this.
Bananas.
St. Louis got Goldschmidt and Arenado in the last 2-3 years. You know, just literally teams dumping really good players on the West Coast, and St. Louis is like, yeah, we'll take these guys because, you know, we want to win and we have money and we'll take them and we won't give up a lot. And this is the wink, wink, nudge, nudge of the MLB. And this is what frustrates fans all across, because it's like, this is, I mean,
and the media covering for them too drives me nuts. You know, Jeff Passan goes on the Ryan Russillo podcast, and Ryan Russillo, who is an interesting listen, but is absolutely pro owner, always starts every single one of these arguments off with, well, I'm generally pro player on these things, but, and then goes into reasons why the owners had no choice. And Jeff Passan sits there and backs him up. And Passan wasn't the only one. If national baseball media is doing garbage like this all the time, it's not helping the health of the game. It's not helping the players, and it's not helping the game grow.
Right. Because here's the thing is, I mean, so we're going to just have the usual 5 to 7 teams always competing for the championship, and the other ones are basically the minor leagues here, right? Like, I mean, you know, so that's where, you know, Tampa Bay makes their little bit of run, and then, you know, then they give up their guys and they got to start again, right?
The MLB wants to expand the freaking playoffs too. So we're going to put in 16 teams, more than half the league. And, you know, if there's only whatever four to six teams that are competing, you're going to get a lot of garbage teams in the playoffs. And that's how you get people not caring about your sport, when it's like sub 500 teams, not like being really bad in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, there would be an argument, is it's sort of like the NHL a little bit, is that you want more teams contending, that you'd have less games where there's, you know, nothing to play for in September or even August sometimes for some of these teams. But I agree with you, Brian, in some respects. I mean, the sub 500 thing, I mean, because in baseball, the whole point is why, that's why you play 162. if the 162 doesn't matter anymore, then why are you playing 162? You're just playing it for gate revenue. That's what exactly you're paying it for, right? Yeah. And so speaking of that, for it looks like it's a good to go. April 1, we're gonna have baseball, all 162 games, and COVID be damned, we're gonna get it going here, and everyone is gonna try and make a go of this, right?
So they say.
That's what I read. They
well, I mean, it worked for the Yankees, NFL,
right? And the Yankees are going to be against.
Let's tone down the language on worked.
Well, no, I mean, for the league,
it did work because as they championed very much throughout that whole Super Bowl game, they didn't cancel a game. They got through the season. Blah blah blah.
Right, but like all that so worked in terms of actually finishing the season. Yes, worked in terms of being safe. I'm going to go with no.
Yeah, sure, no, but that's again, not their measurement.
Do they care? I mean, MLB didn't finish a whole season last year, right? They got a World Series, but not everyone played all the games. A lot of players, you know, were on COVID. I mean, Freddie Freeman, you know, was really in dire straits for a bit there to start the season. I mean, but they don't care. They want people in the stands. And yeah, I mean, if people would really care, then you wouldn't really have professional sports going on right now as it's still raging across not only North America, but the world. But we're not at that point. We're well past that. So, I mean, it looks like they're going to start it up April 1, and it's the Yankees against the Blue Jays there, Brian. So you better get ready.
Yeah. Wow. Look, there's well, no ethical consumption under capitalism.
Wow. Was that your left eyebrow or your right eyebrow going? Yeah. Wow, you should be a little more excited, shouldn't you, Brian? I mean, April 1, there'll be baseball again.
Yeah, I'm excited that there's going to be baseball again. And I'm worried. I'm worried. I mean, this, we'd be lying to ourselves if we said that at least one person did not die because of the Major League Baseball last year. Maybe not like directly, but, you know, maybe indirectly. And I want to see baseball as much as the next person. We talked about it all the time, sure. But I'm just at the point where I just want things to be safe.
Totally. I will say this. What I'm worried about is Manitobans going to get a vaccine before 2025. That's what I'm worried about as well. Because
we're not political, but not with Brian Pallister.
Wow. Okay. Let's not go down that road right now. That's your eyebrow talking now, Brian.
Yeah.
Hey,
so I know you're talking about all, like, the media carrying water for the Rockies in this. I will give a hat tip to RJ Anderson of CBS Sports, though, who wrote an article that said Cardinals fleece Rockies and graded them an F. So, you know, he at least did not try to.
I know that some of them are bashing what the Rockies are doing, right? Like not all media members are carrying water for the owners, and that's good. There are some out there that aren't carrying water for the owners, and that's what we want to see. But when Jeff Passan, who is probably the biggest newsbreaker, and you've also got John Heyman and Bob Nightingale all carrying water for the owners, and those are whatever, like three of the four or five biggest newsbreakers. Ken Rosenthal, too, carrying water for the owners. It doesn't make it easy for lefty baseball commentaries like us or tipping pitches. It doesn't.
Do we want to talk some other moves? So Benintendi.
Oh,
that's the Royals. That's a good move.
That's a very good move. That's one of the first positive moves the Royals have done since their World Series win about 5 years ago, right? I mean, or 6 years ago now, I think. I guess it's 6 years now. But that's a great move, isn't it? Right? They didn't give up much at all in that three-way trade. And you're getting a guy who's only 26. I mean, you know, yeah, he hasn't lived up to his potential yet, but I mean, he gets kind of a new lease on life and like, you know, for his career. And I think there's nothing but a positive for that move.
Yeah.
There's nobody left in that, that insanely good defensive outfield that won the Red Sox, the world championship a couple of years ago. They're all gone. They traded away Mookie Betts and they traded away Benintendi and JBJ's left in free agency. What a joke.
Well, they won their World Series. So, I mean, that,
and they didn't keep any of them.
No, that's all right. The Red Sox will re-up again in 2 or 3 years, and they'll make a run for it again. I mean, you know, it's not like the Red Sox are going to go away. They still have money, so they'll eventually one day start restocking or just buy players again and compete against the evil empire, and there you go again. I mean, it's just it just recycles it over and over again. I mean, it's nice that they're down right now because it gives teams like the Blue Jays and others you know, chance to actually make a run here.
I think the Blue Jays are going to be, I mean, I know I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but I think the Blue Jays are going to be good for a long time.
So that Benintendi deal, it was a three-way trade involving Kansas City, the Red Sox, and the Mets, who sent Franchy Cordero and two players to be named later to Boston, and then received Khalil Lee, the outfield prospect, in return. I mean, obviously a much more minor move by the Mets than some of the things we've been seeing from them and then expecting to see from them. But apparently they're still in the hunt for Chris Bryant from the Cubs.
Yeah, the Blue Jays are in on that as well, I've heard.
As far as things that actually did happen, Marwin Gonzalez signed with the Red Sox after a couple of years with the Twins.
Oh, good. He gets to be back with Alex Cora. Alex
with Cora, yeah. So look for his hitting to improve. And Mariners.
Garbage can sales will go up again in the Boston region.
The Mariners have apparently agreed to a 2-year contract with reliever Ken Giles.
Good luck with that one.
He, of course, had Tommy John surgery, so is recovering and likely won't pitch for the Mariners this season. Year. It'll probably be for a 2022.
This is an interesting thing that I've seen and I'm kind of curious about. I mean, it's good, you know, from a pro labor perspective, it's really nice to see, you know, the Twins did this with Michael Pineda, right? He was injured and then suspended, and they signed him despite the fact that they knew they weren't going to get to use him for a year. It's been a couple times where I've seen stuff like this with pitchers, and I like it. I really do. I like it.
Yeah, they're betting on the player to come back and bounce back and be a contributor to the team. So yeah, that's a good thing, right? I mean, it would be good. Can I tip a hat here? I just saw this on MLB about Carson Vitale, I believe.
Yes, I was going to talk about this too. Oh, awesome. I read the same story.
Good, Mike. So go ahead.
He's the field coordinator for the Seattle Mariners, and he made one New Year's resolution that he broadcast on Twitter on January 1st, and that is that he is going to run 3,650 miles this year, so 10 miles a day. Whether he does it all, you know, in 10 miles, he's doing some days much more, like he runs half marathons and stuff.
That's a lot of running.
He runs he's for fun. He listens. He runs for fun. He listens to books on tape and podcasts.
Oh, I thought and, you were going to say he listens to the show.
That oh, I awesome. Wish. Yeah, no, that would be. But he is donating 50 cents for every mile he runs and is trying to attract as many matching donations. Already, he's received word that Jerry DePoto is going to match them, as well as some other folks within the Mariners organization.
That's cool.
Donating it all to the United Way of Kings County. Obviously Seattle's in Kings County, and he and his wife had been volunteering for United Way, helping deliver meals during COVID. So the money's to benefit Seattle area children experiencing food insecurity as a result of the pandemic. So this piece was published earlier today, Daniel Kramer on MLB.com, and Kramer's already at 487 miles so far.
Holy cow.
Good for him, man. That's I don't think I've driven 487 miles.
He said, you know, part of the issue is he wanted to try to stock as many miles early in the year, because of course
that makes
doing
sense.
It during, you know, he's about to head to Arizona for spring training, and his, you know, work demands will change, and kind of the physical demands of being on the road team. But he sounds like a pretty interesting dude. He I guess worked for Jerry DePoto when DePoto was the Angels GM, and Vital was managing the Halos operations in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, that's great.
And so he brought him in 2017 when he...
I will say this, it doesn't hurt to be in a better weather city to kind of get some miles. And just imagine if you were doing this from Winnipeg right now, like you're doing that on a treadmill because
in your basement. Yeah, no, exactly.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy. Do we have also a chance to pour one out for ESPN commentator and longtime writer Pedro Gomez?
Of course we do, yes.
Yeah, that was it's always kind of shocking when those are sudden, right? I believe he was 58 when he passed away last week.
Yeah, late 50s, yeah.
And he was just, yeah, I mean, his the way I read his bio, he'd been to like 20 or 25 World Series. He was very big in the Spanish community, very knowledgeable. I, you know, seen him 1,000 times on TV and stuff. And that's just, yeah, it's just, I mean, a great ally for his baseball and for just, you know, promoting the game. And yeah, it's just a very sad loss there for the game itself last week.
Absolutely. So we will pour one out for Pedro and we will tip our caps to Vital. We will have to hand things over. It's the end of this episode of the Bench Jockeys. We'll be back next week.
Hey, just before we go here, hold on, before we go, I just want to get a quick preview. Eyelash Man, what's going on with the pity party?
Oh, I mean, it's a really good episode. Nothing overly special this week. It's just a really, really solid episode. I've got some really
good
tunes.
They're always solid. Come on.
Of course they are. I've got, I'm including some tunes from Death Cab for Cutie, Sitcom, Sinai Vessel, Jonesing, Spook Houses, Mineral, Screaming at Traffic, local band.
Nice.
If you haven't heard the new Toledo record, I would recommend checking that out.
It's really good, actually. It's really good. Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
All right. Well, stick around for the pity party at 1 o'clock, Democracy Now at noon. And we will be back next Friday. Until then, have a great weekend. Happy Louis Riel Day.
Yes.
Strike three, you're out.